This is the Schnitt Show.
It's debate night in America. All right, folks, welcome to Schnitt. Here we go. Thursday, yeah. No World Series game tonight. Just happened to be off, which is nice and convenient since who wants a World Series game even when my local team, the Tampa Bay Rays, are in the World Series with the Dodgers? Who wants a World Series game on the night of the final debate? Only two debates. Yeah, out of three. So our debate schedule was cut by 33%. Now 33.33333. So that would have been awful. You know, World Series game tonight and then the debate as well. So it is a clean runway tonight with the debate. Welcome to Schnitt here, ladies and gentlemen, on a Thursday. And we'll get into the debate here in just a matter of moments. One thing quickly before we, and you would think the debate would be the top item here, and it is. However, there is something else remarkably intriguing. So I will get into the debate here in just a moment. I mean, that really is going to be the driving force on a lot of the program today. But I am remarkably intrigued at the potential danger. If this story is accurate, if this is true, this certainly could have serious repercussions, ramifications, if somebody decided to use this in a nefarious fashion. And I'm talking about the report that a hacker has made the claim that they breached Trump's Twitter account. And the claim is they guessed a very obvious password. Now, this story has been out now for, I think I saw it a couple of hours ago, as we come on the air here in the 3 o'clock hour Eastern time. But Twitter, as well as the White House, they're saying, no, it didn't happen. And I'm hoping that's the case. But I think it's important just to spend a moment here and talk about the potential repercussions if somebody were able to gain access to Trump's Twitter account and what that could mean, what a president could tweet and what the reaction of the world, other countries could possibly be. This could be very, very dangerous. And I got to believe from a security standpoint that White House security, our intelligence services, every aspect, I got to believe that they are using an incredibly difficult password. That's number one. And I would imagine that there's encryption involved, I would hope, so no one could actually figure out Trump's password. But the story is that a Dutch security expert says that he breached Trump's Twitter account. And again, I don't think I need to really impress upon you how bad this could be if that's the truth. But the White House is saying now, Twitter is saying that they can't see anything, but this guy posted some screenshots of areas inside of Trump's profile, which would only be visible if, in fact, you were able to gain access to the account. Now, could that be faked? Could you take screenshots? And it takes a lot to dupe me, and that's why I'm saying that this is unproven. This is unsubstantiated. We just don't know. And it would be easy to fake a screenshot, you know, get a template, for instance, of what it looks like when you get into a Twitter account, if you want to change your profile, et cetera, or some of the personal information, to grab that and then maybe grab the actual header from Trump and just do some photoshopping, some cut and pasting, and some handiwork, you could produce what might be an apparent hack. So we don't know. But according to this report from a Dutch news operation called De Volkskrant. De Volkskrant. Victor Gevers. This man chairs the Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure and claims that he previously got into Trump's Twitter account before. And this happened previously, he claims, in 2016, along with two other individuals. Now, the details on this story, which allegedly This has been corroborated by other news sources in the Netherlands. This guy Gevers, the claim is that he was able to hack into Trump's @RealDonaldTrump Twitter account. And the claim is that he guessed the password last week, and it was MAGA2020, exclamation point. All right, get out of here. Come on. See, this is where the story falls apart to me a bit. Really? That our intelligence agencies, the Secret Service, whomever, you think that they would let Trump have a password of MAGA2020, exclamation point? I don't know. I expect it to be blocked after 4 failed attempts, or at least would be asked to provide additional information, this guy Gevers said. And then again, as I said earlier, he took a screenshot of himself inside of Trump's account in a settings area or the settings window. And he has an image of this, but again, could you fake that? Could you Photoshop? And then Gevers said that he sent screenshots to Trump's email, his campaign, the White House, and also a number of U.S. law enforcement agencies. And he also allegedly provided a notification of what he did, plus details on what they could do to make Trump's Twitter account a wee bit more secure. And this the Volkskrant says that the day after Gevers gained access, that he saw Trump's account had activated its two-step verification process, which would be maybe a push notification to require that a verification would be sent to your mobile device, so you'd have to activate it. So that would be obviously a much more secure fashion than just a very easy password. I don't know if I'm believing this whole thing. And then Gevers later was contacted by the United States Secret Service, who he claims thanked him for alerting them to the insecure Trump Twitter account. See, this is where I have a hard time grasping this, that the Secret Service itself and others, that they would not have not only protections on Trump's account at Twitter, but also a very, very difficult password that it would take a computer a long time to figure out a password. Now, this guy, this researcher in the Netherlands, he's suggesting that he just guessed and came up with MAGA, MAGA 2020, and an exclamation point, as in Make America Great Again 2020, exclamation point. So he wrote, this is part of what he wrote, why is it possible for someone from a different time zone to log into such an important account? Why doesn't Twitter demand better passwords? If I can access his account, then foreign nations can do as well, right? Why aren't the persons who are supposed to protect the president informed when somebody reports that his account is unsafe? And then Twitter came out with a denial, saying, the president's Twitter account was not hacked. So Twitter is reporting, and this is what they're saying, this is a release from Twitter: we've seen no evidence to corroborate this claim, including from the article published in the Netherlands Today. We proactively implemented account security measures for a designated group of high-profile, election-related Twitter accounts in the United States, including federal branches of government. And then also the deputy press secretary at the White House, Judd Deere, not to be confused with his brother John Deere, he said, he said, quote, this is absolutely not true, but we don't comment on security procedures around the president's social media accounts. So they're saying absolutely untrue. No, didn't happen. Well, we'll see if anything, you know, more comes out. And certainly it's possible this guy's grandstanding, he's trying to get attention, you know, get folks to talk about it. But what's important here is that the president's Twitter feed and the fact that he uses it as the number one communication device, number one communication platform, that account's got to be secure, because you could do some serious damage Look, Trump has tweeted stuff himself and caused the stock market to crash. What if you to crash? What if you make threats or you say that you're about to invade or launch a missile? Remember Ronald Reagan? He was joking around doing a mic check back in, what, 1984, maybe 85, where he was talking about he's outlawed Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes. Remember, that caused quite a stir. So I wanted to bring this to your attention, but the dangers of someone really being able to hack into Trump's Twitter account and then potentially post, that would be a serious breach, and that would be extremely dangerous on what could possibly happen. All right, it is debate night in America. And tonight in Nashville, the president and former Vice President Joe Biden, they're gonna go into a steel cage grudge match. This will be the second and final debate. This is it before Election Day. Let us jump in. Let us preview. Let's talk about debate night in America. Next on Schnitt. Back in a moment, folks. Stand by. SchnittShow.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take pride in presenting Schnitt.
Guess what else we have? We have audio from the 60 Minutes Trump interview. We have not only the audio from CBS, so released from CBS in 60 Minutes, we also have the audio of the Trump release. So the president making good on his threat, his promise to release their own video, as they also taped the Leslie Stahl 60 Minutes interview. And we have that audio as well on what Trump released that probably will not be included in the CBS 60 Minutes piece on Sunday night. So I'll get into full analysis of that coming up in just a bit. Obviously, debate night tonight, Nashville, Tennessee. We have Kristen Welker will moderate. And of course, speaking of Twitter, she deleted her Twitter account, what, about a week ago, was it? Yeah, we talked about it. So she deleted her Twitter account. And was that for what? Was that for preemptive reasons, to try to pretend to be unbiased? Or was that to get rid of evidence of prior tweets that could show bias? So delete the account, get rid of the account. Oh, hold on a sec. Now it's back up. Kristen Welker's account has been reactivated. I wonder if any tweets were deleted. I wonder if, now that's got to be a chore. Like if I go to my Twitter account right now, and I recommend that you do the same, and I recommend that you follow me on Twitter. In fact, I have a very profound observation that I made earlier today. It's on my Twitter feed right now if you want to get a jump on it before I talk about it. But if you go to my Twitter feed, you know, it used to say how many tweets. They changed. I think if I go to the desktop version, it'll tell you how many tweets I have. And I think I have since 2011. So over the last 9+ years, I believe I have somewhere around 25,000 tweets, which, by the way, is far fewer, I believe, than Trump. But going back, try to scroll back and look at all your tweets. I mean, that's just crazy. I know that at one point you could go into your settings and you could request an archive of all your tweets. And I don't know if you can still do that. I know that you could do it previously. Now, let's get back to the debate here. So this Welker is going to moderate. This is going to be at Belmont University. It'll start at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, and will run commercial-free. 10 questions in a row, commercial-free. It'll run for 90 minutes or so. And it'll be on all the networks and many digital platforms as well. No one can say yet which version of the candidates are going to show up. We'll find out later tonight. Will Trump be more tempered than the last appearance? Will Trump interrupt less? Will Trump allow Biden enough time to struggle with his answers? See, that's where Trump kind of stepped in at last time, is his aggressive presentation. It didn't allow for Biden to step in it. It didn't allow for Biden to potentially fester, wallow, spin around in circles like a video stream trying to connect. And what happened was Trump provided some relief with the interruptions that allowed Biden to sort of get his grip. So I think that was a disadvantage for the president, actually, last time. You know, will the president be as combative as he was at the first debate? You know, denying Biden the time to spit out memorable gaffes. We'll have to wait and see tonight. The new restriction. Let's talk about the mute. The new restriction imposed by the debate commission for this event, I'm thinking should actually help President Trump, should help President Trump and hurt Joe Biden, at least in theory. Concept-wise, that should be the situation. And why is that? Well, because... Do I have enough time to get into it? The reason why that, you know, this could restrict. Well, you know what? I don't have enough time here. So let me pick up with that analysis in just a second. Now, there are six different sections to the debate. We'll tackle all of it next. Also, your phone calls coming up as the Schnitt rolls on. Back in a minute.
This is the Schnitt Show. Now you can listen to
Schnitt.
And so, again, to reiterate, why these rules? Now, the Trump folks, they complained about the muting. They complained about some of these new rules. And this could be helpful to the president. This could be helpful in the sense that with the mic muting, it would prevent the president from interrupting when they decide to use the mute, according to the new revelations. And like I said, it could give Biden some help. It could give Biden a lift, a boost, because with Trump interrupting Biden, it allows Biden to sort of get some footing. We kind of want Biden to have this unfettered delivery where he could potentially get lost. And Trump worked against himself last time with the interruptions and allowed him to sort of regain his balance by having something to grab onto. And the railings were Trump and his railing on Biden, so to speak. All right, number here on Schnitt is 800-801-8999, 800-801-8999. That's how you join us, 800-801-8999. If you'd like to comment, question, agree with me, disagree with me, yeah, listen, you know how this drill works. Before the break, I was talking about the six sections. There are six sections to the debate tonight, and each one is going to open with the two-minute uninterrupted answer by each candidate. This is when the mute will appear. The mute. He is a shriveled man. He has a hunchback, and he cannot speak. It is excruciating to watch him communicate, but he is a mute. Okay, so the mute will kick in at the beginning of each of these six sections. And again, this could actually help President Trump. And that's the time that the other candidate's mic is going to be shunted. It's another good word, right, for muting the mic? Shunting the mic. So after the initial two-minute answers, both mics will then be on. And which version of Biden will we see? Are we going to see the calm, steady Joe Biden, or are we going to see the dazed and confused Joe Biden? Will he be wearing the aviator sunglasses tonight? So the topics that Welker has selected for the debate are as follows. Something that's on everyone's mind, obviously, COVID-19 and the fight against the virus, American families, race in America. I feel like I'm on Jeopardy. I'm Alex Trebek here. I'm revealing the categories. Fight against COVID-19, American families, race in America, climate change, national security, and leadership. All right, here. Go ahead. Alex, I'll take national security for 1,000, please. So I don't want you to think here, folks, for a minute that these topics will ultimately define the contours of the debate. You're going to see a lot of the contours of the debate actually defined by the responses and the demeanor and which candidates we see actually show up tonight. There's a chance that Mike Huckabee shows up. No, I'm kidding. Even if Welker doesn't bring it up, the president, I'm sure, is certain to mention the New York Post report about the alleged laptop and the emails of Hunter Biden. I am certain, I'm sure. By the way, there's some new reporting on that today. And as I've said, I think there ought to be an investigation. But will the Hunter Biden story, the revelation, the allegations, does this move the meter? Does this sway things? I don't think it does. I really don't. If you've made up your mind, you've made up your mind, and I think that's the bulk of the country. We already have, 45 million that have voted already? It's an enormous number. The number of folks that have already voted in the election is tremendous. I saw something like, I think 45 million have already voted. It might be more. It might be 46 or 47 million by now, but it's a very, very large number, obviously. And again, I don't think that the Hunter Biden story, while important, and I think there's a lot of shadiness and seediness going on, it's not going to make or break this election at all. Now, since the story broke last week, Trump has also gone on to call the Biden family an organized crime family.
Yes.
The laptop, the emails have still not been vetted or verified per se. In fact, the FBI is currently looking into the veracity, origins, chain of custody, given that Rudy Giuliani has not always proven to be the best broker of accurate or above board information. That's just a fact. That's not a political statement. That is just a factual statement. Sort of like the colors in the spectrum are Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, right? Roy G. Biv, did I do that correctly? Remember that from my probably fifth or sixth grade, right? Now, Trump is likely to bring it up often. Trump is likely to bring up Hunter Biden, the laptop, the emails, often and early. But how much weight does that really carry? I maintain that it's really a hook that should not be relied on to try to carry this election. But we'll see. And I think the president thinks that this is a huge gotcha. I have huge concerns. Yeah, I want an investigation. I do. And it just seems awfully suspicious, awfully seedy that Hunter Biden put together this deal, the amount of money he was making, not just the Ukraine and Burisma, but also Chinese issues here, while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States in the Obama administration. There are definite concerns here, and it ought to be investigated. But as far as what the rest of the country, the bulk of the country wants, needs, knows, I just don't see a huge impact. Now, does the Trump-supporting crowd think that this is the the greatest takedown of all time and this is absolutely disqualifying? Absolutely. But I'm here just to kind of moderate the expectations. And, yeah, I want this investigated. It smells really bad, Hunter Biden. Smells really bad, Joe Biden. But at this juncture, it's, I don't think, a game changer. And is the Trump campaign and the president relying on this just a wee bit too much? And that's the question here. Now, Trump jumped all over a CBS reporter for asking, Biden rather. Biden has a short fuse. Well, I've got Trump on the mic because Trump has jumped all over Leslie Stahl. We'll get to that later on. But with Trump bringing this up, most likely often and early in the debate tonight, we do know that Joe Biden, when it comes to Hunter Biden, that Biden does have a fairly short fuse when it comes to criticism of his family. And he did. He railed on. Biden did jump on a CBS reporter for asking about it. And he told an ABC station that the idea his son had profited off the Biden name was garbage. And he called it the last ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. Now, that's exactly the response that I would expect. Could that be the response of a guilty individual? It sure as hell could be. Could Biden be guilty? Absolutely. What I do know is just things don't smell right, but I don't have all the facts to actually convict Joe Biden. But I want investigation to see whether this is a convictable situation, even if it's in the court of public opinion, or if it is merely a dismissible situation. I want an investigation to find out. Many investigations for a lot less have been launched. Question is, will Joe Biden lose his cool? What do you think? You think Biden's going to lose his cool tonight? Or you think he's going to stay calm? Or like in the first debate, remember when Trump mentioned Hunter's potential misdeeds? Will Biden look right in the camera and say that his son has problems, addiction problems, women problems, you know, like so many other American families are struggling with? It seemed to work last time. It worked the first time. But of course, that's before the laptop story broke. And it's fair game. Trump should and will most likely hit it. But he needs to be really careful not to hit it so hard that it overshadows his economic message. That should be Trump's ultimate focus tonight. That needs to be Trump's focus tonight. The economic message. And Hunter Biden aside, Trump and Biden will have their hands full. There's plenty of room to hammer Trump over the pandemic response, the COVID-19 issues in the months prior to him imposing the travel ban, for instance. So, you know, we've been in this pandemic for months and months. Trump initially initiated a travel ban, about 9 months ago. And, of course, we're seeing a spike now. We've got cases rising in almost every state in the country now. And we are routinely seeing an excess of, 60,000 new daily cases. I can't think of many states, if any, that are actually heading in the right direction right now. I don't think that cases are actually decreasing anywhere. And that's a problem. Yesterday, U.S. deaths were over 1,100. Let me tell you what Trump can't do tonight. And this is important. President Trump cannot stand up there tonight and repeat the claim that we're turning the corner. And there's a lot of audio. There's a lot of video of Trump doing that. It's going to disappear. And montages are being put together of how many times the president has said this, or even downplaying COVID-19 as we're spiking all over the country at recent rallies. He's downplaying it. I just don't think it's a smart idea. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's a winnable argument at this point. Now, on the flip side, I think there's plenty of room to totally hammer Biden over Biden's refusal to state a position on court packing. Joe, what is it? Do you want to pack the court or you don't want to pack the court? Anybody who cares about the integrity of the Supreme Court should be absolutely livid with Joe Biden right now over the non-answer that he did give to 60 Minutes about court packing. Now, if he wins, if Joe Biden wins, he's going to form a commission of scholars and constitutional academics, give them an allotted amount of time, what do you say, 6 months, to make recommendations on judicial reform. What judicial, why do we need judicial reform? It has worked just fine. The president in power has the constitutional duty to appoint Supreme Court justices. That's one of the spoils. That's one of the benefits of a particular party winning the White House. Sometimes a president might only get to appoint one justice. There are scenarios where you don't get to appoint any justice. Sometimes a president might be able to appoint three justices or more potentially. Why do we need a review? Why do we need judicial reform if the Democrats held the White House? They'd be putting all their top shelf nominees up and hopefully have a bunch of liberals on the court with a liberal majority. And if the cookie had crumbled that way, we would see that. And again, why do you need judicial reform here? That's the way the system works. Duh. And I got some of the Biden audio and what Biden told Nora O'Donnell in the interview, which is set to air this Sunday night, along with Donald Trump. All right, hold on to that thought. Let's get to some of the audio in just a bit. I still have more commentary on the debate tonight, and it's going to be interesting. We're all waiting on the edge of our seats to see exactly what's going to happen and which Biden shows up and which Trump shows up. I'll get to the audio next on Schnitt as the Schnitt rolls on. Don't move, folks. Back in a second.
Schnitt Show.
Show. You realize that Biden is not really a fan of court packing. That's true, but Biden does not have the crotch nuggets to say so, because Biden is afraid of ticking off the far left, the very progressive wing of his party. So that's a lack of backbone. That would be a lack of spine. Now, here's some of the audio on Biden and court packing from 60 Minutes and Leslie Stahl.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack, the way in which it's being handled. And it's not about court packing. There's a number of other things that our constitutional scholars have debated, and I'd look to see what recommendations that commission might make.
So you're telling us you're going to study this issue about whether to pack the court.
No, whether there's a number of alternatives that are go well beyond packing.
This is a live ball.
Oh, it is a live ball. No, it is a live ball. We're going to have to do that. And you're going to find there's a lot of conservative constitutional scholars who are saying it as well. The last thing we need to do is turn the Supreme Court into just a political football. Whoever has the most votes gets whatever they want. Presidents come and go. Supreme Court justices stay for generations.
Biden's afraid to say that he's against court packing because he doesn't want to tick off the far left in his party. Back in a moment, folks.
This is the Schnitt Show.